stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. This week's topic is going to be all about the Barry's greats. We've had almost a full season of being able to analyze them, look at how they are working over the course of the season, and being able to identify, hey, which players might we want to get a discount for in order to get some impact for our playoff runs. If you're not familiar with the Barry grades, Dynasty Barry, part of the South Harmon team, puts these out and updates them every single week for anybody in the Wrinkled Brains channel, which comes with the pregame pooper tier on the Patreon. So if you are not already signed up for the South Harmon Patreon at patreon.com/South Harmon, go and do that. And if you sign up for the pregame pooper tier, you get access to these grades. That way you can look at them more in depth than I'm going to cover here today. My goal here today is just to cover, hey, which players are standing out? And the way Barry goes through these grades is he combines a bunch of data, some of it from PFF, some of it other statistics, for identifying which players are going to be the best for your fantasy teams. And he gives them a percentage grade from 0% to 100%. And based on those grades, you're able to make some informed decisions of how good is this player for my team from a fantasy perspective. He uses some NFL grades because some NFL grades are useful for fantasy purposes, but ultimately the goal is to do a fantasy prediction for these players. So that's what I'm going to do here today, is go through and let you know which ones I'm identifying as being somebody you will want on your fantasy teams come playoff, regardless of what the matchups are. Or at least identifying which players are maybe a tier above where we're thinking of, and somebody that we might want to look at for next year and potentially getting on our teams now if you're trying to rebuild or retool for the following season. The first position that I'm going to look at is the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks have a very interesting tier break from both number one all the way to number two, and then number eight to number nine. There's a clear differentiation between some of these quarterbacks from one to another. The first one is Lamar Jackson is in a tier of his own. In the Barry grade, he grades out at a 97.5, and number two is 90.4. That is a huge tier break, and he also has what he calls his WMM, also known as what matters most. His what matters most is a 99.7% grade. And so obviously Lamar Jackson, not only is he being a difference maker for your fantasy team, he's also grading out so much higher than anyone else. And it is something where you can rightfully say it is going to sustain for him unless obviously some injury happens or something like that. The second tier is a tier of a bunch of quarterbacks, and it's a lot of the guys that you would think of. You've got your Josh Allen, your Jalen Hurts, your Jaden Daniels appears in this list, Joe Burrow. But there are two names in here that I want to talk about that don't feel like that they necessarily should belong, at least in terms of how I value them. The first one is Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is somebody that if you listened to the 4D pod this week, you heard Mike and Maddie talk about how they would not trade Baker Mayfield for the 101. And I agree with them. I would not. However, Baker Mayfield is still grading out really, really well. And he's still going to be attached to Mike Evans next year. There's the potential that the Buccaneers decide to go and renew Chris Godwin. And regardless, they still have Jalen McMillan, who is somebody that I personally think is underrated in terms of coming into the NFL, and a lot of other people do as well. And he's surrounded by a good team that is there to support him. And so he comes out as the number two overall quarterback. He comes out in the second tier. And I think that that means that we can value Baker Mayfield as somebody who is doing quite well. He's a good, productive quarterback, but we just don't need to value him as highly because he is that pocket passer. He doesn't run the football as much as some of your other guys, your Josh Allens, your Jalen Hurts, your Lamars, Jaden Daniels. Those guys are different. And he's also on the older side. He's 29 years old right now. But if he's a good quarterback, he's going to continue to play well for multiple years to come. And everything we're seeing right now is that he is a good quarterback. It's the Browns screwed up by trading him away, and he found himself a home that's actually there to support him, unlike in Carolina, where they seem to have all sorts of organizational problems. The second quarterback to talk about is Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is also in this second tier, and it is kind of surprising to me. I did not feel like he was making as much of a fantasy difference, kind of like how Baker Mayfield is doing that this year. And you can kind of see that when you look at the fantasy points per game numbers. His fantasy points per game is 21.9, which isn't too dissimilar from the 20.6, 20.3, 20.9, 20.8 that you're seeing out of some of these other quarterbacks. And so when I'm looking at Brock Purdy, he's still grading out in this higher tier. He's still grading out as, hey, maybe the actual production that he's getting is not matching up necessarily to the players that are around him. Maybe you should be expecting more to come out of Brock Purdy in the future. And I feel like this year has been a little bit of souring on Brock Purdy. There's kind of been a little bit of a recoil from him because he's not making any difference. In previous years, he was doing quite well. He was making a big difference. This year, it's not happening as much. Well, how much of that is the San Francisco receivers around him? Because the Berry grades seem to justify him as being in that second tier of quarterbacks in terms of production this year. And so that's somebody that I want to potentially be investing in and taking a gamble that next year he's going to do better, as long as somebody's not holding on to him with an iron fist. Obviously, last year, people were holding on to him with iron fists. If you still need to pay your last year's prices now, that's not something I'm willing to do. But if there is a discount now because people are seeing him not quite be the difference maker, they're saying, oh, he's a pocket passer, he's not going to do as much, maybe I'm willing to buy in and take some chances that he will become efficient again next year and get you some more fantasy points than you're necessarily expecting. The next tier I want to look at is what I'm calling the tier three of quarterbacks. And there's a name right at the top that I'm really, really interested in, and it's Bo Nix. Bo Nix, obviously, rookie coming in. We didn't know how he was going to do, but he's grading out in the Berry grades quite well for fantasy purposes. And even at the NFL, I think he's surprising a lot of people in terms of what he's able to do, and that he's not only throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage to running back screens. And so when we look at his results in the Berry grades, I am very excited to see what he's actually doing and excited to see that he's performing quite well for fantasy. However, there is one black mark, and that black mark is the What Matters Most grade. His What Matters Most bumps him to the bottom of Tier 3. I mentioned that in this Tier 3 of quarterbacks, he's at the top in terms of the overall Berry grade, but that What Matters Most is below all the other guys in the tier. So that makes me not want to go overboard with Bo Nix and not get way too excited. But I would say if you drafted Bo Nix towards the back end of the first round, I know there were a lot of people at South Harmon here that did that because we were talking about how important quarterbacks are in Superflex, then we have a bunch of people that have drafted him at the end of the first round, and I think he's well worth it there. And I think that he's somebody that when you're looking at your startup drafts next season, he might end up going in that like round four, round five range. And I think that is well worth it for him. I think that he's somebody that can be a decent quarterback too, if not being somebody that is at least a really, really good quarterback three for your team, depending on how your team is roster constructed, depending on like if it's best ball, you might want more quarterbacks. If it's lineup, you can probably get away with two. But he's somebody that I'm looking forward to seeing how his career plays out, because right now it's looking quite good for him and looking quite good for our fantasy teams. Looking further down after the tier three quarterbacks, you start to get into a larger tier of what I would call your ending quarterbacks, the quarterbacks that are just not really making that much of a difference compared to one and another. They're just all essentially your quarterback twos to quarterback threes. There's not that huge of a delineation between them. But I want to talk about a couple names that I'm seeing in there. First one is CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud is not doing that well this year, especially from a fantasy sense. And we need to hope that it turns back around to being what it was last year. However, last year, it was still, what was he in warp? He was like quarterback five in most leagues, which, sure, quarterback five is great in terms of the production compared to what we necessarily expected him to do as a rookie, but he's a pocket passer. He needs to be extremely efficient in order to sustain that. And what we have seen this year is when his wide receivers go down, he's not able to sustain that. He's not able to elevate that. And so we need to shy away from CJ Stroud. He should not be going in the early part of the first round. I would probably say he shouldn't be going in the first round at all in your dynasty startups this next summer. Does that mean I'm probably going to end up with zero shares of CJ Stroud again? Probably. But that's the sort of thing that you need to take a stand on if you're taking a stand on player. And for me, that's the stand I'm taking on CJ Stroud. In terms of my fantasy projections for what kinds of players I want on my team, I do not think I'm going to have any CJ Stroud this coming year. Unless I'm in a bunch of leagues where I have like-minded people like me that let him fall into the second round, it's just not going to be something that I end up doing. And right next to CJ Stroud in the Berry grades is also Jordan Love. Jordan Love was somebody that I thought was valued much more closely to where CJ Stroud should have been valued in terms of he was being drafted in that second to third round of startups. That is totally fine. I think that is where you want to have these pocket passers, because you end up in a situation where, like this year, Jordan Love, he's not doing that well for fantasy purposes. He is giving you 20.8 points per game compared to Stroud's 17, but he's still not being that really efficient quarterback, which is what prevents him from jumping up into that first round of Dynasty Fantasy startups. And so I think that seeing Jordan Love right next to CJ Stroud should help us understand that we need to have a little bit of a market reset on CJ Stroud. And if people are still valuing him really highly, like a first round dynasty startup value, you should probably go and sell and get the value out of him. I know I did that with all my shares. That's why I didn't have any of him. So that's something you probably need to explore if that is a situation you have on your team. And one other player that I want to talk about is Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, he only has a Berry grade of 65.8%, but that's just because he hasn't played a whole lot this season. What I want to look at is his what matters most grade, which is 81.7%. If we were to insert that into where he should be ranked in terms of the overall rankings, he should be slotting in right next to that third tier of quarterbacks group where I was talking about with Bo Nix, which puts him in the same ballpark as guys like Patrick Mahomes, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, and funnily enough, Justin Fields. So it looks like this Pittsburgh team is really efficient for their quarterbacks. Now, Russell Wilson, despite not rushing as much as Justin Fields, actually has more fantasy points per game, which is obviously why the Steelers are using him as their quarterback. He is the better passer, and he's actually such a better passer than Justin Fields that he's scoring more fantasy points in a game, despite the fact that Justin Fields is the one that can rush for probably 100 yards on any given day if he really wanted to. So seeing this makes me want to buy in Russell Wilson cheap. If you are a team that you're able to say, hey, I need a quarterback, I need somebody for this playoff run, I need somebody to fill in that QB3 spot for my team, Russell Wilson is a cheap target that you can go get who is actually making a difference on the field and has some of the data metrics that say he should be doing better than where he is currently ranked. So Russell Wilson is somebody that I want to point out as this is somebody based on the Barry grades that I want to go and get. So now I want to move on to running backs. And with running backs, you see your traditional names at the top. You see Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. That's who I would expect to be up there. But in the top number one tier, we are also seeing a few names that, in terms of dynasty value, are quite different. The first one is Derrick Henry, and the second one is Alvin Kamara, and the third one is Saquon Barkley. And those three players are drastically different. They are a full tier above the players below them, and they're right there with Jahmyr Gibbs. Bijan Robinson is a little bit ahead. He's in terms of the Barry grades, it's a 1.6% difference, which is usually how I am splitting up based on tiers, but it's not like the Lamar Jackson tier break where he was 7% above everyone else. Bijan Robinson is better than everyone else in terms of the Barry grades, but he's not like a world beater or anything like that. So those five running backs, if we treat them all as one group, are two really young studs, Bijan and Gibbs, and then you have the three old veterans who are performing really well. And the question you need to ask yourself is, how much do I want to invest into these older running backs in the hopes that not only do they stick around for this year, but that they might have some value come next year? Because Derrick Henry right now, he's scoring you 21.6 fantasy points per game. He's getting you a ton of yardage. He's getting you a ton of touchdowns. Do you think there's the possibility that continues next year? And it doesn't need to continue at 100% rate. If it continues at an 80% rate, he'll still probably be scoring you similar points to your guys like Josh Jacobs, Najee Harris, Tony Pollard, J.K. Dobbins. Like, all of those guys clearly you're able to get some value for those guys. You have to actually pay something of substance in order to go and get them for your fantasy teams. But Derrick Henry is somebody that you need to pay a lot to go get him now. You need to go pay that first if he's not already on a team that's competing who's just refusing to sell you them. And so these are the decisions that we have to make as fantasy managers. And the way I like to play is I want to play for this year and then my expectation for what will their value be a year from now. If I had to take a guess, Derrick Henry is not going to be a full zero next year. He is on that contract with Baltimore. With how he's been producing this year, I fully expect that they are not going to cut him and take the dead cap. That two-year contract is going to be used to its full extent across those 2 years. And so, regardless of whether I win or not, if he's able to help me make a strong playoff run, and then I can still, at the very least, get a second out of him next year, I think that's worth it. It is worth it to me to go from essentially 2 seconds of value to try and get a player who's a full difference maker right now onto my fantasy team in order to try and win. And so Derrick Henry is one of those players that I want to do that with. And Saquon Barkley is another one of those obvious ones that, yes, I'm 100% going to do that. Except for that Saquon costs a little more because he is not as old as Derrick Henry. And so that one's maybe a little bit harder to justify. But once again, he's on that long-term contract with Philadelphia. If he ends up sticking around and doing the same thing next year, you're probably going to be able to sell him for almost the same difference. So if you're willing to bet against injury, if you're willing to say, hey, I think I can sell this guy next year if needed, but maybe they just end up allowing you to make another playoff run next year, that's great. The value that you already spent last year is paying again the following year. So all of these guys are ones that I'm still trying to go and get. And the same thing goes with Alvin Kamara. I'm still willing to do that. You never know how many times he's going to catch the ball in any given week. And if you have a PPR league, that's just free points. So I want to look at the tier two of running backs. That tier starts with James Conner, and it covers a lot of the traditional guys that you would expect in tier two. For me, I'm making the cutoff at Kenneth Walker. So you got James Conner, Joe Mixon, Chuba Hubbard, Aaron Jones, and Kenneth Walker. And that sort of tier two is very interesting when you think about where these players were valued at the beginning of the season. You expected James Conner and Joe Mixon to be like, yeah, these are the veterans that are going to do solid. Same with Aaron Jones. Chuba Hubbard, people had a lot more questions about. And Chuba Hubbard has been kind of a surprise this season. And then also, he just got that extension with Carolina. They drafted Jonathan Brooks in the second round of last year, which I think is going to impact Chuba once he fully starts getting run on the team, once he gets his full carry workload. But the real question is whether that's going to happen this year. I'm not convinced that it will. I think that they're going to ease him in this year. Think about how the Detroit Lions ended up using Jameson Williams his rookie year. They brought him in on a couple plays here and there. But his snap shares the back end of his rookie year were like 20%. They weren't anything to really be excited about. He just was kind of being tossed in just to get a little bit of experience. But they weren't pushing him very hard. And we've already seen that Jonathan Brooks is someone where this late in the season, the Panthers are not going for anything. They don't have a need to try and rush him out onto the field to try and get him involved. They want to take it slow. They don't want to hurt his recovery from that ACL. That's just not something that they need to do for their second round pick. And so as a result, Chuba Hubbard is probably going to get most of those carries the rest of this year. He's probably going to do quite well for the Carolina Panthers. And the way he's been playing, it's probably just going to be like a 60-40 or 50-50 split in Carolina next year. And that means that Chuba, he's not going to go to zero. He's not going to become completely irrelevant. And so I want to go and invest in Chuba now, because people are looking at the Jonathan Brooks incoming and they're thinking, I can't justify having Chuba. His value is going to go to zero once Jonathan Brooks takes over. But everything we're looking at here in terms of the Barry grades, in terms of how they're impacting fantasy points, and then also in how the Panthers are viewing them. They just gave him that huge contract in season. We need to make sure that we are looking at all the signs. And the signs are pointing to Chuba's not going to become irrelevant immediately. So Chuba's somebody, if I'm trying to make a playoff push now, I'm willing to go and invest. And because I can probably get some of that value back next year if it doesn't work out for my team next year. Kind of like how I was talking about with the Derrick Henry and with the Saquon Barkley, how they have a lot of value, but then next year I can get a little bit back. That's the kind of thing that I'm trying to play. Now, down at 11th in the Berry grades is Breece Hall. He is somebody that is worth a ton. And the problem that happens with Breece Hall is that he's on the Jets, and the Jets are just not doing well. And so I don't really know exactly what I want to do with Breece Hall. I was about to say he's somebody that I am trying to get out on a little bit, but if the Jets actually figure out their offense a little bit, then he can become extremely relevant again. The problem is that they're just not doing well. The fact that they are not scoring touchdowns, that they're not being efficient, they can't get anything going through the air, so obviously teams are able to try and focus on stopping the run against Breece. It's becoming a huge problem for his fantasy value. You can see that he is a really good player. But we need to look at, okay, what is the Jets organization doing? And it might be one of those things where you want to get off of your Breece Hall now and then wait till the offseason and then maybe buy back in then. Now, of course, that's taking a little bit of a gamble of where do you think Breece Hall is going to be next year. But what we've seen in the past is players who do not perform very well over the course of a season, their value does not go back up during the offseason. As much as we want to say, hey, these guys, their team structure is changing around them, as much as we're trying to justify, oh, it was just a bad year. Like, sure, their value won't necessarily go down into irrelevance, but there's going to be a certain tier of players where we go, they can't be higher than these guys because these guys did extremely well last year. Somebody that I'm talking about for that might end up, this offseason, might end up being somebody like Saquon. Saquon, sure, he's going to be an older running back, but Breece Hall might be in that same tier as him when we get to the offseason, when we're talking about, hey, who do we want on our fantasy teams? And when you're talking offseason value, comparing two players like that, those are two totally different outlooks in terms of long-term value of those players. And if I can expect that they're going to have similar production, but they're going to be similar value, then obviously I want the younger guy. And so I'm going to play a little bit of, I think that I can get Breece Hall to not be that impact player the rest of the season because the Jets are doing so poorly. And that I can end up reinvesting in the offseason if that's even what I need to do on my teams. So that's what I'm going to be playing with Breece Hall and how I am reading what I want to change with my strategy with some of these Berry grades. Because the other thing is that what matters most grade, it is way down below everyone else around him. And so it would put him in another tier below if I was watching that. And so that's why I'm like, I'm not going to go as hard into Breece Hall right now. And I just want to look at some of the rest of the running backs and kind of take a look at, okay, are there any standouts? Or is there anybody that I want to pay attention to for the rest of this season? The first one is Brian Robinson. In terms of the tier that he's in the Berry grades, it's much lower because he missed those games, but his what matters most is 71.3%, which is higher than everyone else around him. Kind of stands out a little bit of like a sore thumb kind of thing. And I want to invest in that Brian Robinson because I think with how the Commanders are using him, that it is an opportunity that is ripe for getting a lot of fantasy points. They like using him to just be bruising up that front line where Jaden Daniels, because of the threat of him running, it opens up so many of those opportunities. And because Jaden Daniels has done good passing the football, it opens up more of those opportunities for Brian Robinson. And we see him be quite efficient. And it especially becomes scary around the goal line because defenses need to keep track of both Jaden Daniels and their running backs. And Brian Robinson able to just dive into the end zone as an alternative to Jaden Daniels It just makes it so hard for defenses to be able to defend that. Now, it didn't look great on Thursday night when they were against the Eagles, but the Eagles are also one of the absolute hardest defenses to play against. The only problem in terms of Brian Robinson and the playoffs and whatnot is they do play the Eagles again in week 16. So we do need to keep track of that and make sure that we are understanding what the expectation for Brian Robinson is. However, I think that Brian Robinson can be somebody that in the playoffs, at least weeks 15 and 17 against New Orleans and Atlanta, is somebody that we can be excited to have on our team and be excited that when the Commanders get into some of these positive game script games that they're going to hand it off to him a bunch and he's going to get a bunch of carries. And so the what matters most grade seems to justify that as well, and hopefully we're seeing some good production from him at the end of the season. Isaiah Pacheco is the last player I want to bring up, and he is somebody where when you look at what he did at the beginning of the season, if he comes back and does that, he's going to be an amazing end of the year running back. However, there's a couple potential problems in terms of what might this end of the season look like. Now, Isaiah Pacheco's what matter most grade, it stands out from everyone else around him. And that's because everyone else around him, in terms of the Berry grades, has actually played all the games this year. They weren't injured like Pacheco was. But we need to project forward, okay, what is Pacheco actually going to do for our teams when we get to fantasy playoffs? The first question is obviously Kareem Hunt. Will Kareem Hunt just fade away into irrelevance when Pacheco comes back? Or is he going to potentially have 40% of the backfield? Because Pacheco was having the large majority of the backfield when he was actually the starting running back. And so how does that integrate back in? We don't know. The second thing that we need to pay attention to is the Chiefs' schedule. In terms of the rush defenses that they're playing, it is one of the worst in the entire league for playoffs. And so we need to make sure, and by worst, I mean worst for scoring fantasy points against them. They are very strong defenses. So we want to look at Isaiah Pacheco as, okay, he seems to look good in terms of the peripheral numbers, but we don't necessarily want to have him on our teams because of those uncertainties. And so when we start talking about he's coming back at the end of this year, he's coming back in the end of November is the current time frame, supposedly, for Isaiah Pacheco. That's right when a lot of teams have their trade deadlines. A lot of trade deadlines are right around Thanksgiving. And so we want to make sure that when we are going through talking about do we want Isaiah Pacheco or not, the Berry grades say he's a difference maker compared to the guys around him. But if you look at his what matters most grades, it still doesn't place him that high. And some of that is just because he played in so few games. Obviously, it's going to be lower. But you want to be very, very cautious on this guy who had an awesome beginning of the year, but everything has changed around him and has started to give a very poor outlook for the rest of the season. Isaiah Pacheco is somebody who, if you just inserted, hey, he's going to get 18 to 20 carries, he'll be a solid running back for your team. Just getting that kind of volume is something that you always want out of your running backs. But he might not be getting 18 to 20 carries and have 100 all-purpose yards and also be getting a touchdown or two. That might not be in the cards for him. And so knowing the combination of those, both of those things, knowing that upside, I'm going to stay away from Isaiah Pacheco. If I already have him on my teams, that's fine. But I have him on a few best ball teams where I'm just waiting for him to come back to help bolster the running back room, give me an extra running back who's probably going to get a decent number of carries and maybe I get lucky and he has one of those spike weeks where he is able to get a touchdown and he gets it off of 15 carries and he gets 75 yards. Like, that's an all right performance, and that will make end up making my lineup in those leagues. But I also want to take a look at, okay, what is the projection from a guy like Isaiah Pacheco? Where does Kareem Hunt come out in these grades? And we see Kareem Hunt coming out at running back 29. He comes out with a Barry grade of 60.6 and the What Matters Most 65.3. Both of those numbers being higher than Isaiah Pacheco. And we've been saying Kareem Hunt, he's been great for fantasy purposes. He's getting us 16.8 points per game. But if we start seeing a split between him and Pacheco, because he is being effective, he is doing well for the Chiefs, well, that's going to hamper both of them. And so that entire philosophy around him is something that I am personally staying away from. So I was originally going to do the wide receivers and tight ends this week as well, but obviously I'm already at 35 minutes in this podcast. So I'm going to push those off till next week, and I'm going to jump right into the Tight Ends Don't Matter segment. Unfortunately, I have to skip the how many players are rostered in a league segment because I am away from home right now and my server crashed and I cannot restart it remotely. So I'm not able to get that data for this week. When I get back next week, I'll post it out on X for anybody that is interested. So you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa. I'll post out what those numbers are, just that way you can keep track of them. For the tight ends don't matter, last week, I got really, really lucky. I was actually deciding between Drew Sample and Tanner Hudson, like, while I was actively recording the podcast, and this was right before the game last week, and I got really lucky. I went with Tanner Hudson, because Drew Sample put up a zero-target, zero-reception game, and Tanner Hudson had that nice seven-target, six receptions for 42 yards and a touchdown. Like, that was an amazing week, and I'm glad that I finally got a good week. It ended up being tight end four on the week for Tanner Hudson, and so that was an awesome pick, and I'm glad that I ended up going with it. However, this week we have some decisions to make. Obviously, we can still go with Tanner Hudson. He did that amazing performance last week, and he's obviously on the list for this week, and he has not jumped up into that I cannot use him tier. Plus, we had him last week. By the rules that I set, if you had a player from the previous week, you can always use them for the following week. I also have the choice of Josh Oliver. Josh Oliver is really interesting because ever since TJ Hockenson returned, he has been doing way better than before TJ Hockenson returned, which I think means that Josh Oliver is being used a lot more as the replacement for TJ Hockenson when, like, TJ Hockenson needs something like a breather, or they're trying to limit his number of snaps as he's recovering from this ACL injury. And so knowing that, I'm expecting that Josh Oliver is going to go down over time. I don't think he's going to sustain getting as many receptions as he's getting right now, because I think he's ending up taking a lot of the TJ Hockenson snaps, whereas previously those were being taken by Johnny Munt, like he was playing as that primary pass-catching tight end, whereas now they're swapping Josh Oliver in. So that's my reason against Josh Oliver. And our last option is Brock Wright. Sam Laporta is likely going to miss this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are a good matchup against tight ends. So the question is, for me, it really comes down to, do I want to go with Brock Wright, or do I want to stick with Tanner Hudson again? The main worry that I have with Tanner Hudson is that his snap share was not a ton last week. His snap share was only 35%, and he also was going against Baltimore, which is one of the best matchups for tight ends. This coming week, he's going against the Los Angeles Chargers, And so it makes me worried that it's not going to go very well. Whereas, as I mentioned, Brock Wright, he's going against Jacksonville. And against Jacksonville, you end up with a extremely positive matchup. And knowing that he's likely going to get all of Sam Laporta's snaps, knowing that over the course of this season, he's been getting a ton of snaps already, it makes me think that he has a good chance of having a big week that comes out of nowhere. So that's what I'm going to go with this week. I'm going to go with Brock Wright. I'm going to switch it up from Tanner Hudson. I might be eating my words when I'm looking at back at this Monday morning, but I'm going to switch. I'm going to go with Brock Wright. And Tanner Hudson, if you have him, is somebody that somebody else might be interested in. You might be able to toss him away for like a fourth or something, just to get a little bit of value out of him as you switch over to Brock Wright. So if you have him, try and do that and see if you can just get some free value off of somebody that you've probably picked up off of waivers. That's all I have for you this week. As always, go to patreon.com/southharmon, sign up for the pregame pooper tier in order to get access to all these Barry grades that I talked about this week and that I'm going to talk about next week. And also go to southharmonff.com. If you have not signed up for the tools that we have on there, definitely go and pay attention to what we have going on there. Use those tools, learn how to incorporate them into your strategy, just like how I'm kind of learning how to incorporate these Barry grades into my strategy. They're all different data points that can help you change what you're trying to do in order to fit an optimal overall strategy and how it fits with your personality in fantasy football. That's everything I have for this week. As always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.